Hello, this is Dave, and this is Hacker Public Radio, episode 303. This is being recorded on the way home from work the day before this episode is due. As usual, sadly, I've not done a lot of preparation. In fact, I've been really, really busy and sort of racked my brains as what to talk about. So what you're going to hear is, I don't know, an application that I've recently stumbled upon that I like a little bit, not tried it a lot. And then I'm going to talk about my computer hardware, my computers at home, and then I may mention a movie that I liked. So forgive me while I yield to traffic before turning left. So I will proceed. I recently came upon a program called Lotta NZB. It's LOTTANZB. And NZB, I'm not even exactly sure the exact definition, but it is a file type. I first heard of this listening to Hacker Public Radio last year, early in season one. And I think it was Deep Geek, but I could be mistaken. Could have been someone else. I've still not looked that up to see who it was. But I keep crediting Deep Geek for the episode on NZB files. But having been around the internet for a long time, I was familiar with news groups, Usenet, and even had a couple of favorite news readers in the past. And I don't use Usenet a lot, but occasionally I still will. And Usenet is a place to find all kinds of stuff. I'll just leave it at that. You can find all kinds of stuff on Usenet. And one of the limitations of news groups is the packet size, or the packet, the size of the files. So if you want to download binary files that are relatively large, they will be divided up into packages, or different. The binary itself will be divided up into numerous files, and NZB files are evidently a file type that sort of collects or represents a whole collection of these broken up files. So you don't have to scroll up and down in your newsreader looking for all the pieces and right-clicking on and saving as or whatever. You know, you don't have to do all that. You just use the NZB search engine and you find what you're looking for and you download it. Well, I remember hearing about this on Hacker Public Radio, and I wrote down on my to-do list of things to try today, almost a year ago, to try out some NZB stuff, and I never got around to it. Then I found a program called Lotta NZB. And I will put a link in the show notes. It escapes me right now. It's probably like LottaNZB.com or something. But it is a, if I'm not mistaken, a GTK app. And it allows you to download NZB files. Now, this program, what it wasn't, the one thing that this program didn't do that I thought it would do was allow you to search for NZB files. It does not. You still need to either be a subscriber to an NZB search engine or just use the internet to find them. But once you found an NZB file, you download it. It's sort of like downloading a torrent file. It's a small file, and you just open it with a lot of NZB, and it does the rest. So it sort of removes the newsreader out of the equation. You find the NZB file and you use a lot of NZB to download it. Now, there are some dependencies. RAR is one of them. I think it's pronounced Hella NZB is another one. But, you know, if you use a Debian-based system, you can download the deb file and just do a dpkg-i and then the name of the deb file, and it will barphone you. It will tell you there are some dependencies missing. And then if you just do a aptitude, I think, -f install, it will pull in those dependencies and finish installing the Lotta NZB deb file. Easy as pie. So it's a good program. I like it. It didn't do everything I thought it would, but it did get me off of my rump and onto my to-do list for just a little while, and maybe it's worth your while as well. Next, I was going to talk about my computers, and I think I may still do that. This will be, I don't know if anybody's done this yet or not. I know several people have talked about, you know, what they have in their their computer bag or toolkit or backpack or whatever. This is filler, but somebody may be interested in this. I have numerous computers. I have, I think the one that I like the best, the one I'm the proudest of, is my server. I have a Spark Ultra 2 server. It's 11 years old, I think, and it runs Debian. I can't remember what I put on there, what version of Debian I put on there first, if it was whatever was before Woody. Is that Potato? I cannot remember, Bo. It escapes me, but I installed Debian on it once a long time ago and have done nothing but upgrade it since then. It's running Lenny now. I've always run the stable version of Debian on this machine because it's my web server. I host my own website from my house, and I have really enjoyed this Sparkbox a lot. It's probably my favorite computer. Not a lot of power. I think it's got dual 450 megahertz processors, and you know, because it's a Spark, there's not a direct one-to-one megahertz translation between, you know, that and a 386 type of computer. Anyway, that's my web server, which I like a lot. I have a PowerPC G4 also running Debian Lenny. Same kind of story. I've had it a long time, and I've run multiple versions of Debian on it, installed once and upgraded many times after that. Always run the stable version on it as well. It's an Icecast server. Best as I remember, I think I installed Icecast from Source, mainly because the Debian version of Icecast didn't stream MP3s. I use it mainly to stream in AUG, my weather radio, as well as serving as a mirror to another Icecast server I administer for my church. Next, I have two boxes upstairs that are AMD 64 boxes, old ones. I don't even remember what model they are, or what speed processor or anything like that. They both have about 2 gig of RAM, and they're both running Intrepid on them. And they used to get a lot of use before I got my laptop, but those computers have been moved upstairs, and now my two daughters use those mostly. And the PowerPC that I spoke about a while ago, in addition to it being used for Icecast, it's also used as a backup server, and my wife uses it to play X-Maj on every night. I have an NSLU2 that's running Debian Lenny, and I use it as a backup server. I run rsync jobs off of it and the PowerPC upstairs to back up my web server and the home directories and a couple of user local directories on all my other computers not all my other computers, but a lot of the others. Let's see, I have an HP DB5000 US laptop that is running Intrepid that my 11-year-old daughter is slowly beginning to take over. She uses it more than I do, but most of the time it sits behind the couch with the lid closed in the living room, and it's sort of a file server. I keep stuff there. I have a OLPC XO laptop running, I guess it's Fedora 10 and the Sugar interface. It doesn't get used much at all. My 6-year-old occasionally uses it. It's behind the couch as well, and I have played with it some, not a lot. And I have, what am I leaving out? I've got a couple of Buffalo routers and a Linksys, 54GS or GL, the Linux variant of the Linksys router, running DDWRT. I know they aren't computers, but you can SSH into them, which so technically they're sort of computers. I know I'm leaving one out. I got my ThinkPad. It's a T61, and I'm still running Hardy on it. That's the one I use all the time. Well, my time is split between that one and the Triple E PC 901 that I have that is running Lenny. I usually run those side by side, and when I need to get up from the desk, I'll just reattach a screen session on the Triple E and take it with me. And I also have a Nokia N810, which is in my pocket at all times, and it's running MAMO Linux, And I do similar things with it. It's not that easy to type on, but I can reattach a screen session there and continue the conversation in Arisi. So good stuff all around. And I think I'm leaving another one out. I've got one that Ken Fallon gave me in the Netherlands. That's another backup server. And it is it's an AMD Athlon or something. It's an 800 megahertz machine, I think. This running Debian Lenny and an Apache web server as well. So it's a mirror to my Spark Ultra 2, as is the PowerPC. I have the Apache instance and the website backed up on there as well. In addition to all that, I have 2.5 other Spark Ultra 2s in. I guess if you put them all together, I've got one running, but I've not got it, you know, I'm not using it yet. And the other two are just like parts. And I don't think I've left anything out. I've got a work laptop that I won't talk about because it's XP. But I think that's my computers. I don't think I'm leaving any out. I administer a couple of other boxes, one for church and one for another group. But that's it, I guess. Okay, and next I was going to mention a movie that I like, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this on HPR. I know I may have mentioned it in my own podcast, but the movie is from 1973, I think. It's called A Boy and His Dog, and I think it was rated X at the time. Now, I may be getting it confused with two other movies that were released in 1973, The Exorcist and A Clockwork Orange, and they both had X ratings. I'm not sure if A Boy and His Dog did or not, but an X rating in 1973 meant something completely different than an X rating in 2009. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, so the movie rating is a little irrelevant in that case. But A Boy and His Dog was based off of a Hugo Award-winning short story, if I recall correctly. I cannot remember the author, but the movie had Jason Robards and a very young Don Nichols, that's not his name, hockey puck, Don Johnson. I think he was about 19. And Don Johnson plays a boy. He's 19, but he's the boy character in the movie A Boy and His Dog. And he has a dog. And it's post-World War III. The world is in chaos. And Don Johnson and his dog, who is telepathic, they communicate with each other, are traveling across this wasteland, and they're being pursued by, I've forgotten exactly what they are. They're sort of like mutated reapers or zombie kind of characters that you don't want to mess with them. So they're running from those guys, and the sole purpose of their existence is to get to this place. I think it's called Newtopeka, maybe? I can't remember. There's this mythical place that's supposedly untouched by the war, and they're traveling there. And, of course, their second sole purpose, that's a misnomer, but their other purpose is to stay alive and, in the process, eat and have sex. So the boy and his dog sort of work together to accomplish those things and survive, of course, and find this place called Newtopeka. I think that's the place they're going to. That may not be the place they're searching for, I can't remember, but they end up going to this underground city that may or may not have been called Newtopeka, and it's run by Jason Robards. And he's like the mayor, and it's like a utopia underground, but it's real strict, almost pseudo-religious. They're piping Bible verses over PA systems, and they're preoccupied with repopulating the world, and it involves men marrying 100 women in a ceremony, and then more or less hooked up to a machine so that the women can be impregnated, and they end up down there, and Don Johnson ends up marrying 4 or 5 women, multiple women, in this weird sort of mechanical ceremony. Yeah, but he escapes, and I won't blow the ending. But it is a good movie. It's a very interesting movie. If you've never seen A Boy and His Dog, check it out. Okay, I think that's going to wrap it up for this ill-planned episode of Hacker Public Radio. If you don't like hearing this kind of Hacker Public Radio, then why don't you do something about it and record your own? Hacker Public Radio is always in need of contributors, and I'm sure the community would appreciate your efforts. Okay, tune in again tomorrow for another Hacker Public Radio.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.